Our lesson today begins a series based upon the I Am discourses in the Gospel of John. There's seven that we will be looking at in the weeks to follow that most people concentrate upon and quote. But we're beginning with a very unique and bold claim Jesus makes about himself, and one that John records without any apology. The amazing claim in John 8, and the validity of everything else Jesus will claim, hinges upon this one claim. So I encourage you to open your Bibles to there, John chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 50. That's page 1664 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Jesus says, I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, Now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Verse 54, Jesus replies, If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you've seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. I want you to notice that the Jews didn't pick up stones when Jesus called them liars. And he did. He was very, very straightforward about that, wasn't he? And they were insulted by that, I'm confident. But that's not when they picked up stones to retaliate. It wasn't even earlier when he claimed to be the Messiah. Others had claimed to be the Messiah. In times past, they'd come and gone. Couldn't prove their claims. No, it wasn't until Jesus insisted that he had lived before Abraham was even born that they prepared to kill him. They understood his statement to be blasphemous. That he was claiming to be divine. That's why they rallied to stone him to death. And the truth is, if Jesus wasn't telling the truth here, that's exactly what he deserved, to be stoned to death. That's what the law demanded. Was Jesus claiming to be divine? Even as many believe the I Am that appeared to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3? You may remember that is how God identified himself there. And it's the same wording that we find here. Jesus didn't say the most natural thing to say, before Abraham I was. No, he didn't say that. He said, certainly before he was born I am. So Jesus was claiming to have existed before Abraham. But his declaration is far deeper even than that. He's not just talking about his longevity in the world. In the opening chapter of John's account, John 1, and really the whole chapter, but the first 18 verses make it very clear that the apostle is saying that Jesus had been around from the very beginning. Before he came to earth, Jesus was the Logos, the Word, that had been with God and was God. He makes that very clear right up front. And he goes on in the text to say that word became flesh. And that word lived among them. That word made God known to them. Though no one had ever seen God the Father, that Jesus made the Father known as the Son of God. The Apostle Paul would later write that Jesus was in his very nature God. Philippians 2 verse 6. But Jesus, before coming to earth, was God in his nature. Then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, that he was the express image of the invisible God through whom all things were created. Nothing was created without Jesus not only being there, but creating them. And in Colossians 2, 9, he also says that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity, or the Godhead, dwelt in bodily form. Who's Jesus? Who is Jesus claiming to be? If not the great I am. And if he is claiming to be the great I am, and that is true, then every other claim he makes about himself, every other thing he says he can do, is true as well. Yes, Jesus is declaring that he is eternal. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eternal. Unlike other spiritual leaders they had before and those who came after him who are here today and gone tomorrow, Jesus is ever present. We are supposed to be impressed by companies that appeal to how long they've been in business to talk about their credibility. You ever hear people say, you know, well, they've been in business for 50 plus years. We've been in the area for 50. What are they saying? You can trust us, right? Because we're credible. We've been around. We've been here. We don't want to deal with fly-by-night corporations. Some of us have maybe done that. We said, you know what? Hey, boy, that really sounds like a good deal. That sounds cheaper. That sounds more economical. That sounds more affordable. And we've gone with those people. And then when it doesn't pan out, where are they? I remember my dad, people coming through, you know, say, hey, you know, we got some leftover blacktop. You know, we did a big project down here, and we can blacktop your drive, and we can do it in a hurry. We'll have it done, do a superb job. You know, we really are local and whatever. My dad went for that hook, line, and sinker. They did it, and they didn't even have enough to finish it. They said, we'll be back tomorrow and finish it. They never came. Yeah, sometimes, you know, that's not the thing to do. Jesus is credible. Jesus has been around. Jesus has been in the saving business from the beginning of time. And when the time comes to make good on his claims, you can count on him. Jesus, eternal, the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus as the I am. And yes, because of that, yes, Jesus is credible. Jesus can be trusted. His promises are as powerful now as they ever were. Hebrews 6, verse 18 assures us that it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. So if Jesus is the great I am, can he lie? No. Can he deceive us? No. Now, we may misunderstand him, but he will never even mislead us. Never. What he says he will do, he'll do. What he says we can do, we can do. What he says will be, will be. What he said to his disciples, the promises that he made to them, he makes to us. And those promises can be counted on. They can be trusted. They can be depended upon. They can be leaned upon. You can take them to the bank, and you can know that they will always be there. And Jesus will keep his promises. As the I am, when he says something, you can believe it. You can trust it. You can count on it. We so often are disappointed, are we not, by the promises that people make to us? That the things we are assured of will be, will happen. The number of times people said, I'll be there for you. I'll be there when you need me. I'll be there when you call. And we've called and they weren't. Now, sometimes it's not because they didn't mean well. They didn't really count on being there. But you know what? They're human. They're people. They're flawed and fallible. In South Lyon, in Michigan, when the very first sermon I preached there, I told the church that I would disappoint them. Not to put their confidence in me, because I would disappoint them. That if they elevated me, I would come falling down. That eventually I would disappoint them. That I would mean well, I would do my best, but I would disappoint them. I would not be able to live up to their expectations. And you know what? When I failed this guy, when I wasn't there, he reminded me. And he reminded me often after that, you know what, you're right, you have disappointed me. But you know what, Jesus will never disappoint you. Do not put your confidence in men. Do not put your confidence in spiritual leaders who are only men. No matter how much they have sincere desires and no matter how much they may be gifted, put your confidence in the I Am. In Jesus, the only one who will never let you down. He can be trusted. It's impossible for him to let you down. What he says he will do, he will do. And guess what? Trusting Jesus leads to life. He said in our text, if we keep his word, we will never see death. He said that. Matter of fact, that's what he initially said that caused such a stir. Even before he said, before Abraham was, I am. Even before he said that, they were riled. Because he said, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. And they said, remember that? And they said, well, what are you talking about? Come on. How can you say such a thing? Who do you think you are? It's not about who he thought he was. It's about who he knew he was. And is. And is. See, one point that's so often overlooked here in all this is that Jesus is claiming something about Abraham, not just about himself. He's claiming something about Abraham. He did say, you know, that Abraham longed to see my day, and you know what? He saw me back then. That's not what he said. He said he saw my coming. He said he longed to see me, and he saw my day. He saw me coming. What he's saying is Abraham is still alive. He's not dead. What he's saying. We could debate about the details about where Abraham was residing at that precise point or where he may be residing now. But it's interesting. If you study in Luke 16, Jesus tells that story about the rich man and Lazarus. Some of you might be familiar with that. And Jesus said that when the poor man, Lazarus, passed away, he was carried by angels to Abraham's side or bosom. And it's interesting, if you read that, Jesus talks about a conversation that takes place between Abraham and the rich man. Jesus speaks about Abraham being alive in a different place, but alive. Alive. How could that be? How in the world could that be? The Jews, they said, well, he's dead. He died. Jesus saying, no, he didn't. Yeah, but he died. He has physical body. Gave out. Laid down. Was buried. But he lives. He lives. How? Let me tell you how, because Abraham kept Jesus' word
Wait a minute. How could that be? Jesus is the I am. Remember? Jesus is the I am. When Abraham trusted in Yahweh, when he put his confidence in Jehovah God, when he obeyed him, when he followed him, and when he left his homeland to go to a place he did not know of, he kept Jesus' word. Because though not known as Jesus then, because remember, you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus lived and has always lived as the I am. Abraham followed the pre-incarnate Christ. And because of that, he lives. That's difficult to grasp. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. I had a hard time accepting it myself when I first learned of the reality that Jesus is the great I am. That that's who he is. That he's Yahweh. He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. The scriptures are plain enough, though, when we really open our hearts to it. When we really look at Jesus' claims, when we really look at what Paul says about Jesus, what John says about Jesus, what Matthew says about Jesus, what Mark says about Jesus, what Luke says about Jesus, what they all say about Jesus, what the Old Testament says about the one who would come to be Jesus. That's not to say there aren't some questions that we have, some things that we can't quite work out our logical minds, some logistical questions we have. There are things we can't quite wrap our minds around about this, but just because the Godhead is complex and perhaps beyond human ability to completely comprehend doesn't mean it isn't true. I have some good news for you. You don't have to figure it all out for it to matter. So don't metaphorically gather up stones in your mind to assault what you don't understand. Accept the truth of what Jesus says. He's God in flesh. He existed before time. He walked upon the earth for 30-some years, lived a perfect, sinless life, laid that life down, was given as a sacrifice for our sins, rose again on the third day, ascended to the Father. He's at the right hand there now. He forever lives, and so can we who will accept him for who he is. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. Believe Jesus, trust Jesus, and guess what you'll find? Life. That's his point. Life. In the weeks to come, we're going to hear many more incredible claims made by Jesus in the Gospel of John. But the most common thread, the thing that you're going to see time and time again, is the simple promise, believe in Jesus and you'll find life. In fact, John sums it up in the next to last chapter of his letter. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. It says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And read the last phrase with me. And that by believing you may have life in his name. What can you have? Life. Life. And not just life for 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years, but forever. Eternal life. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, whoever believeth in him shall have life. Will not perish. Life. Life eternal. Praise be to God. Amen? Life eternal. Now think about that a minute. Abraham lives. So does everyone who ever put their faith in Jesus. They still live, but they died. No, they did not. They live. They live. And we live too. And if we put our faith in Him, we live forever and ever with God in heaven with Jesus. Amen? Praise be to God. What great news! But you know what? If He's not the I Am, it's all for naught. But He is. He's the I Am, and because He's the I Am, you can be ever-present, ever-living too. That's good news. The best news. The greatest news. And we're not talking about eternal existence. We're talking about eternal quality of life, good life, abundant life, full life, as we'll see in the days and weeks to come. Jesus came that we can have life. 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 Father, this is incredible. It's amazing. It's so awesome to think that Jesus, that the I Am, walked among us, lived among us, and laid down a life that we could have life. God, thank You for the revelation, for the truth, the knowledge that Jesus was more than just another prophet, more than just another man, more than just another person who taught good things and then lived a relatively good life and then died before His prime. But it was all in the purpose and plan that You and He, the Spirit, had from the very beginning. That we might not just live for a while, we might live forever with You. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not yet believed in Jesus as the Son of God, as God in flesh, come to earth that they might have life, that God, they might be moved to believe. They might be convicted and they might be moved to confess and accept Jesus plain. Because it's more than just a claim. It's a truth we need to set claim to. To put our roots in, our anchor deep in. For God, in You, in Jesus, in Your Spirit, we have hope. We have love. Thank You. Praise You.